Welcome back to tonight's service. This is Lord's Supper night. Let's stand together as we get started with hymn number 305. 305, Praise Him, Praise Him. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come back tonight and remember who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, you're a wonderful Savior. And Lord, we're just so grateful that we can set aside a time when we can remember what matters the most in our life. And we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord, that you are buried, but thank you that you rose again. And Lord, we thank you for the blood that you shed on the cross for us. Now, Lord, we ask that you give us a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit of God in this place, and that you would speak to the heart of every person here. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
This morning in Junior Church, Brother Stone Street preached, and after the preaching was over, we had a good time embarrassing Brother Stone Street and using his life as a lesson to the kids. So it was a lot of fun. And then also in our Bible ABCs, we're all the way up to X in the alphabet.
Well, this morning we praise the Lord for 48 writers that came on the church bus, and today was Movie Star Sunday. What we did was we videoed all the kids and took pictures of the kids, and we're going to make a little bus movie out of it, and then a couple weeks we're going to show the kids and they can be a movie star in the church bus movie. So we're praying for 50 next week. Next week is Superhero Sunday, so we're looking forward to that, and we're thankful for what God's doing on the church bus.
Amen. Well, King's Kids started up this weekend. We had 16 in King's Kids, and we had 6 gold cars completed and 11 in Junior King's Kids. And we learned about preparing our hearts to serve Jesus and then making the decision to go ahead and serve him, which takes work and commitment. And I want to thank Brittany Ikatar for designing this flyer. So go out in the Welcome Center, grab one of these. We want to build King's Kids up. Pass it out if you know someone. Wonderful job.
All right, community outreach phase 2 is full steam ahead. The blitzing, we had 8 people out for blitzing on Monday. We also had a couple stragglers go out on Saturday, but thanks for the help on that. We had 462 tracks passed out this week. So if you want to get plugged in somewhere or help out, we could always use more hands out there putting tracks on doors. Blitzing, thanks.
We had 6 members of the shut-in team come out and visit, and I just want to encourage you guys to continue praying for our ministries, and if you really want to have a happy new year, get involved. There's nothing happier, and you can't have greater joy than serving the Lord. So come out and join us, okay? Thank you.
Well, we had a good night out door knocking on Monday night. We had 7 door knockers out, and we had 50 contacts and 3 prospects. So moving ahead, and like Netta said, it is a joy to serve the Lord. So come out and join us on Monday night.
Makes a total this week of 562 contacts, 38 soul winners. We had 1 saved this week, and we praise the Lord for that. and I appreciate you being a part of that. That's exciting to go out. It was really a joy for me to have see a family here this morning that came but visited. Someone met out the doors. I think it was Nathan and Brother Abelos met the family off the door, and they came today. And so we praise the Lord for that. It's always exciting to see people coming in that way. And then I did have someone just to encourage those for the shut-in. Netta, I had a lady come to me today and said, you know, some of your ladies came by and just talked to me and prayed with me, and that was such a blessing. And I want to tell you that, Pastor. I appreciate that. So I'm passing it on to you. I take no credit for that, and your ladies doing the great job that they are, and I praise the Lord for that. So it's always exciting. Find a place, serve in ministry. Don't forget, we are serving our Savior. Tomorrow night, I know it's a holiday, and I know a lot of you have it off. We are full steam ahead with it tomorrow night. Come out and be a part. We start right at 6:30. Obviously, we will not the following week because we'll be right in the middle of our conference. So we want to do it. Tomorrow night is week number two, so be a part of that as well. All right? Let's have another song.
Let's stand together. Song 520, I Just Keep Trusting the Lord.
Forget tonight after the service, those of you who serve in the nursery and your families, we want to invite you to go next door. We do want to have this workers' dinner for you. Thank you for your hard work and for what your contribution is to the ministry of Calvary Baptist Church, and we thank you for that. So make sure and don't forget that. Of course, our school and church office will be closed tomorrow in observance of Martin Luther King holiday, so keep that in mind. Our annual victory night will be this Wednesday night, and that'll follow the service. It should be just a few minutes, but we'll probably bring the King's Kids over. Those of you who serve in King's Kids, make sure and come over next door. We're just going to present to you where we are. We already did the financial stuff back in August, and we'll do that again in August of this year. So what we're going to do is we're just going to approve our deacons serving, and then, of course, we always have a meeting. We want to make sure that we understand that. We look at our statistics and see if there's any changes or corrections. And so that's basically what it's going to be this Wednesday night. Should be very quick. So just to let you know that. Our Midwinter Preaching Conference, of course, with Brother Kingsbury and Brother Belcher will be starting next Sunday. Brother Belcher will be here. Brother Kingsbury will join us on Monday. And I hope that you can help us with as we're trying to collect funds to help offset that cost. I've said a lot about that, so I'm sorry I want to back off on that, but just to let you know, remind you about that. And we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a great conference. I'm telling these guys are great preachers, and you will greatly, greatly enjoy it. We will be taking up an offering during the conference to help offset also, so keep it in mind. Do pardon our construction. We don't apologize for it. We're thanking God for it. Amen. But please make sure that you use if you have to go out here on this side, you stay on that little portable sidewalk that we made there, so that you know, keep out of the mud and things like that. We keep all that outside the building, just like you do outside of your home. You don't want it in your home. Keep it out in outside. We're trying to do that as well. And just want to help you a little bit. And you can park, by the way, back here all the way in this back lot, all the way around the behind the building. So when you, some of you who get here early, you could come all the way around and park, and then, you know, then you know, head out the other way. We're going to be both utilizing this parking lot and driveway area over here as we go out. So make sure when you come in north and go out that as you, I'm sorry, south side, you come in that you be careful, because there are children that, you know what children do? They just take off running, you know. And adults, I want to tell you, please make sure that, you know, you watch your children. And then drivers, you watch out for children. One of the things we don't have, and we've thought about many times, when you come out on this corner, you can't tell right out here on this south corner of the building. You cannot see anybody coming around or running out. So make sure you're very careful when you drive in, because you never know if someone's walking across that way. So thank God, by His mercy and grace, we've not had any accidents or anyone hurt, and we want to keep it that way. Amen. And so help us with that. That would be very, very appreciative, I guess, is the word I want to use. So please keep that in mind. Well, we have one more song. We're going to sing hymn number 44, Under the Blood. I couldn't think of a better. I'm sorry, 405. It's just like His great love. We'll get to the end of the blood in just a minute. I'm running on a little bit fast here. So 405 is just like His great love. Let's stand together. We'll sing this, and then we'll take our offering.
Father, we just thank You for the great love that You have for us and what You've done on the cross for our sins. And Father, we just thank You for the privilege of serving You, and pray, Lord, that You've blessed this evening's service in the Lord's Supper. And we just thank You for allowing us to give back a portion of what You've given to us. And we pray that You would bless it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll just sing one verse. I'm
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. We have a lot to cover tonight, a lot we want to do tonight, and I'll try to keep my message short, maybe an hour and a half tonight, all right? Luke chapter 10. I've never preached an hour and a half in my life. I'm sure I could do it, but I've never done it before. I never had anyone listen to me for an hour and a half. Many of you listen about 10 minutes, and you're pretty well done, and so I understand that. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we stand for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 10. You know, the average adult's attention span is about 10 to 15 minutes, in case you don't know that, and I know that. So I just don't know which 10 or 15 minutes it is. So my challenge is to figure out which one it is. And, you know, children's are more like 5 to 10, although I think that's getting less and less as the days progress. You know, it's too bad. I thought about doing a video of me preaching and then just sitting all of us watch it, because people are so video-oriented. That's what they're used to, is they'll sit for hours watching a video. But I don't know. I'm just cutting up with you a little bit tonight. Have you found Luke chapter 10 already? Verse 38. Let's zero in on this passage. It's a tremendous passage. I want to preach to you tonight on what matters the most. Look, if you would, at verse 38. The Bible said, "Now it came to pass as they went, they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?'" By the way, you ever felt that way, that you serve God alone? "Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Thank you, and you may be seated. What happens when you have guests in your home? Someone said this: if you want to get your house cleaned up, just invite some company over. Seems like that's how it works, doesn't it? all of a sudden everybody's coming over. Now we're all nervous. We're going to get everything cleaned up. Mary and Martha were they were entertaining the greatest guest anyone could possibly have. And Martha was concerned that everything was just right. She wanted everything to be right. And I can appreciate that. I don't know about you, but I like it when everything is just right. I want the service to be just right. I don't like it when that side, I think this projector is the one that goes out. I don't like when these light bulbs are about time to replace them again, and they're $270 a piece. But I don't like it when they're not working right. I don't like it when they flicker every now and then. I don't like that. I like everything to be just right, don't you? I don't know about you, but I like a clean office. I like a clean car. I like things to be clean and neat. I think everything ought to have a place, and there ought to be, and everything ought to be in its place. I just like everything like that, and so I'm kind of driven that way. But I realize that we all have limited amount of time, limited resources. And here was Mary and Martha in a home, and Martha was just busy, busy, busy. She was attending to every detail because she wanted the house to look right. She wanted everything to be right. She just was totally, totally consumed with all the details there is. And the truth of the matter is there's only a limited amount of time that Martha and Mary had with Jesus. Jesus is about to teach a marvelous lesson to not just to Mary and Martha in that house, but to all of us. That all of us need to realize that there are just some priorities we need to have in our life. We can't do everything. It's hard for me. Because I like to do everything. I have a list of things I try to get done every day. I never get them all done. Start at 4:30, I try to crank it up and get going, and I can't get it all done. That's just the way it is. But here is Mary and Martha, and in this story, they represent two kinds of people. They represent the kinds of people that I think, in a sense, that when we look at, we can almost understand where they are. There are those who are the worshipers, and then there are those who are the worriers. They represent two kinds of people, those who are active, and those who take time to spend with Jesus. Something I've learned, though, is if I spend time with Jesus, God will help me to get the other things done I need to get done. You see, we're kind of like we confuse and we get all, you know, flustered because we have so many things to do and we think we don't have time to spend with God. But I'll tell you tonight, we've set aside the busyness of a year. I cannot believe it is January the 16th. Seems like we just took the tree down. Seems like we just had the musical. It seemed like last night was the musical. I don't know, maybe as you get older, time goes by. What seemed like a year ago, it's already passed, and here I am now writing 2011. I think I just got 2010 about December 15th down on my checkbook. We're moving so fast. So many things to do, so many activities, there's so much going on. But you know, God wants us to step aside and evaluate in our lives what matters the most. What matters the most in your life? I mean, if your life were to end tonight, what would be the most important? Jesus was about to teach these two ladies that they need to understand what is important. And what that, for them, that they had to make a decision about. For Martha, it seemed the house was more important. For Mary, the house meant little importance because Jesus was already there. So I want to talk to you tonight. I want to preach to you on that subject because I believe that these things that matter make some determinations for us. I want to give you the first one.
when we understand this, we realize that it determines, first and foremost, our focus. What are we focusing on? Once you establish what matters to you, that is most important, is that which will drive you to focus on that very thing. Now, I'll be honest with you, there are things that become a focus. One day I was talking to a person about the telephone. Have you ever noticed how the phone kind of reminds you of this very fact? You can be in the home and you can be dealing with certain situations in your home. You can be talking to people about all kinds of things, and the phone rings, and all of a sudden that becomes your focus, doesn't it? Kind of interesting. Or it's like this. You ever done this? You waited in line at like a DMV or one of those places like that? You've been waiting in line for an hour and a half. You get up, and when you get up to the line and you get up to the window, as soon as you get up to the window, the phone rings. They pick it up, and guess what happens? You're put on hold. Because all of a sudden now the focus goes on the phone. Or if you have a friend who kind of lives on the phone all the time, like a cell phone, you kind of feel like that, why should I be with you? I'll just give you your cell phone and your time and you can do it. You see, what matters the most to you determines your focus. Remember Brother Chappell a few years ago, we had him come up and speak at our conference like we have coming up next week. I'll never forget this. I picked him up at the airport. And he comes out and he comes and gets in my car, and he's talking on the phone all the way. He gets in the car, sits down in the car, and he's sitting next to me. And then he hangs up, and you know, it's kind of shaking my hand while he's talking on the phone. Then he hangs up the phone, and then the phone rings again, then he picks it up, and then he hangs up again, then it rings again and picks it up. And then I tell him, here's what I do. I talk to him, I stop the car. And here's what I said. I said, look, I just want to let you know, I'm not flying you up here for you to talk on your phone. I flew you up here to spend some time with you and encourage you. Either get off your phone and hang it up, I'll put you back on the airplane right now. I did, I told him that. Ticked him off, man, he didn't like it. But guess what, I didn't like what he was doing. I didn't fly him up here to talk with him, we'll watch him talk on the phone. I could see that anywhere, amen? You know what? 2 hours later, we're sitting out in a restaurant getting ready to talk. You know what he told me? He said, thank you for that. It helped me to get my focus right. See, what you determine is important to you is what's going to determine what you focus on. Now, I know that tomorrow, tomorrow you're probably off. The next day, if you have to work, that's a focus. But never let all of the activities of life distract you from the most important focus in your life. Does this make sense? Are you following me? The reason why we're having the Lord's Supper tonight and why we're starting off this year right is because we realize that this is more important than anything else to remember what He did for us. I mean, it's not just about budgets and people and conferences and banquets and all the other things and parking lots and you know, those kinds of things. And I'm not saying those are unimportant, and I know that we'll have time we focus on those, but I'm saying this is what matters the most. Note this, Mary focused on Christ. That's what she did. Mary knew the dust and dirt would one day be gone. Or if it wasn't gone, did it really matter? She knew that Christ's visit was more important, and so she determined that she was going to sit at His feet. She knew the value of time with Christ. And I want to ask you this tonight. Do you realize how valuable that time is with Christ? Paul writes about that when he said, but godliness with contentment is great. What is it? Gain. He realized the fact that spending time with God, and that was more important than making tents and dealing with people and counseling and all those other things. And those are unimportant, but the hustle and bustle of life can be very overwhelming. But we must set aside some time with Jesus. We must invest our time in that which is eternal, if you would. But Martha focused on activities. Martha, the Bible makes it very clear, she was busy. But let me ask you a question. Does that mean that being busy is godly? Does that mean having activities make you spiritual? Being busy does not mean we're godly. It doesn't mean that somehow or another that we're busy with activities and you know, oh, we've got to look at our church calendar. Wow, we have this on Monday night, and this on Tuesday night, and this on Wednesday night, and this on Thursday night. We have this on Friday, and next Saturday we have two events. And so we have that, and then the next week we start over again. We'll have three more events on. That really makes us spiritual. No, that doesn't make us spiritual. Remember, we're not human doings. We're human beings. And we can't be what God wants us to be until we spend time with He who is the great I Am. God wants us to realize that. And so the challenge for Martha was she needed to learn to get her priorities just a little bit adjusted at this point. There has to be a balance between worship and work. There has to be a balance between what is important and what matters the most. And I think sometimes the reason why some people choose to work on Sunday when they don't have to work on Sunday is because they're advancing their career or their money rather than advancing their Christian life. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know that sometimes people are forced into certain things. I understand that. But I'm talking about when we have a choice. There are times it is necessary from all that we're doing to set aside this time. And when our priority is worshiping Christ, we have created within our life that which is very important. That determines our focus. Mary focused on Christ. Martha focused on activities. That's what she was about. That's what she was doing. She was so busy with her activities that that's what she focused on. Point number two, write this one down. Not only does what matters the most determine, if you would, for us, that which, when I look at it, what matters the most is our focus in life, but it also determines our choices in life. What kind of choices do we make? For me, what is that? For you, what is that? What do you choose to do? Well, I find with Mary, there is a compulsion. Did you notice what the Bible says in verse number, let's see, where am I? Let's go down to verse number 42. Look at it with me, please, would you? But one thing is needful. Mary hath, what's that word say? Chosen. What can we say that the word chosen means? It means make a choice. She had a compulsion. She had to decide in her heart. She's chosen that which is important. That tells you that it does not naturally happen. And for us, when we take and set aside a time like the Lord's Supper, what we're doing is we're choosing to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Look, the elements here, they are not literally the body and blood of Jesus Christ. The elements represent, if you would, for us, the broken body. That's what the bread is about. Jesus said, "This is my broken body." So it represents that for us. And in the busyness of everything, as we set it aside, we are saying, "Christ, you're important." We have chosen to realize how important you are to us by honoring the Lord's Supper. This, by the way, is not a sacrament. It's an ordinance. That means we're not doing this to make ourselves more spiritual or to somehow make us closer to heaven. No, we're as close to heaven as we possibly can be, and that came not because of the Lord's Supper, that came because of the blood of Jesus Christ. But of course, the juice refers to the blood of Christ. It goes back and it points to that. No, we're not drinking Christ's blood. We're remembering what he did. It's setting aside our priorities because there's a compulsion inside of us. We must make a choice to honor him. You see, it determines our choices. Mary, the Bible said, she has chosen to spend time with him, and that means that she made a choice one day to receive him as her Savior. You know what the priority of our life should be? Number one is we know Christ. Amen. Call on him. Ask him to be your Savior. Ask him to be your Lord. And then number two is, now we've done that, is to make the choice that we want to spend time with him. But there's a commitment. Mary was committed to sit at his feet in prayer. The Bible says in verse 39, she heard him. She heard his word. She took time. You see, commitments always need to line up to the word of God. I just want to hear the word of God. I was telling our teachers yesterday, I said, I'm taking some classes on this program on how to use it. And when I got done with that class, I was like just so elated with how wonderful the word of God is. So much. We need to hear his word. We need to make a commitment to line up with the word of God and hear his word. And I think that we're trying to shortcut as much as we can. We have reading plans. We told you about going to websites that there's reading plans. I mean, you can find them all over the map everywhere. Just commit to hear the word of God. Okay, so you don't get the bed made up. Read the word of God. I mean, can a bed be unmade for a day? But how about the word of God? Don't you think we need that for a day? Amen? Okay, maybe don't get the toothbrush put away in the sink or out of the sink. Maybe don't get to wipe down the mirror. Maybe don't get to do a lot of the things you would like to do. But what's the good thing to do? Spend time with him. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody goes home and wrecks her house and just ignores all that stuff. Some husbands might say, yeah, I hope not. But what it does mean is we better make some commitments to adjust our priorities to what is the most important thing. You know, sometimes people say, I just don't have time to go to church. That's because they have their priorities. They're making their choices because what matters to most of them is not God. And it should. It determines our choices because there's a compulsion, there's a commitment. And one more, write this one down. There is a concentration. The Bible said one thing. I mean, Martha's consumed with her projects. Mary is consumed with the Savior. One thing. Everything in the church should point to this one thing. Everything in our life should point to this one thing. You know what it is? Jesus is the Lord of my life. You see, the more we concentrate on him, the less important we are. The more we spend time with him, the less all of a sudden our agenda is so important to us. John the Baptist said it quite well when he said this, he must increase, I must what? Decrease. I mean, John 3:30, I mean, it's so loud and so clear in the scriptures that when I adjust my priority, when I line up my choices under him, when I realize that I have a commitment, when I realize I have a compulsion in my heart, when I realize that with all of that there's one concentration, there's one thing that's important, that maybe all the other things around me, they might have a place in it, but one thing is so important is concentrating on him. In my relationship with him. And I realize that all of us share in responsibilities. We all do. I mean, we have a house, we have cars, we have work, we have kids, we have meals, we have all the other things like you do. I know you may not believe that, but it's true, you know. But we have to choose and make those choices based on our priorities. I think within a church, we better make some priorities with the Lord's Supper. Amen. Now, let me tell you what the Lord's Supper, why it's so significant, besides the fact we remember what Christ did, and that is the most important. But what it does is it helps all of us to adjust our life. You might say it this way, it can start the revival tonight in our own heart. Because the Lord tells us that if we're going to participate in the Lord's table, that there's some requirements that have to be followed. And here's what he says. He says that it's important that we follow these because these are not anything to be taken lightly. Can I get you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please? Let's go there very quickly. Verse 23. Here's what God says. As Jesus was teaching, and as Paul was quoting what Jesus was teaching to his disciples, Paul is writing this to a church that is confused about the Lord's Supper. They thought it was like a big party. They thought it was the fact that somehow or another they could just sort of have, you know, this meal, and everybody kind of hang around and eat a meal. It's a big fellowship time. All of us just kind of come, and if you're hungry, let's just all get together and have a big potluck. That's kind of how they saw it. They didn't realize its importance. In verse 23, Jesus was teaching his disciples, as Paul's recording this. Notice what he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for me. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do oft as ye drink in remembrance of me. So now the first, notice here, he's laying out the guideline. Here's what we do. Here's why we do it. Verse 26. For often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Here's what he says. He said the Lord's Supper is a very important time in your spiritual life. In other words, it's not anything that we're to take lightly. We don't come in and just kind of like, okay, kids, you want some grape juice? I know you hadn't had any in a while. You probably want some. Shouldn't be that way. God said there's some things that we must do. Number one, we must make sure that we're saved before we ever participate in the Lord's table. We must know Jesus Christ as Savior. Number two, we must be scripturally baptized. Because that's the first step in obedience after we're saved. And then number three is we must examine ourselves. That means we must make sure there's everything is right between us and God and everybody else. That means that we have to have a personal revival in our own heart. So when we observe the Lord's table, we want to make sure that everything's right between us and God and right between everybody around us. And that's what Paul says. And Paul said that some weren't right. And so because of that, they were suffering illness and they were going through difficulty and they were suffering and some had even died because they were taking the Lord's Supper too lightly. I will tell you this tonight. I want to be just real transparent with you tonight. I tell our deacons, and we meet, and we go over this. I tell our deacons, I said, your job is not to police the elements. So as we hand them out, I'm not saying, okay, you can give them to these people, and they'll give them to these people, and do that. That's not their job. Their job is to hand them out. They will go up and down the aisle in just a moment. They're going to hand out the plates to at the end of the rows to everyone who wants to participate. Personally, I think every Christian should participate. But if for some reason that you feel like you can't, don't be embarrassed. Our heads will be bowed anyway. You pass the plate. The bottom line is, guess who really polices who partakes? The Holy Spirit. He does a whole lot better job than we do, doesn't he? You know, it wouldn't be right for me to say, well, you can, you can. I know how you are. Yeah, okay, you can. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not our place to. I'm not going to put that on our deacons. I know I certainly am not. Because I don't know your heart. You know your heart, and God does. You know whether you're saved or not. You know whether you've been baptized or not. You know whether or not you're right with God. That's God's job, not my job. Nor is it the job of our deacons. But I want to urge you that if what matters the most in your life, and maybe tonight might just be coming forward and getting right with God about some things. Maybe tonight might be you might have to pass the elements on by and getting right with somebody in the church or somebody that in your family or maybe even somebody that you live with. Maybe a spouse. It might be all it is. You see, the revival can begin tonight. Don't have to wait till next week. We'll have to go another week. We can take care of it tonight. I think that you ought to start off right with all of us right with God. Amen. It's kind of like what I tell our students. You know, when my students, when they come into my Bible class, I said, look, tonight, today, every one of you have a perfect score. You're 100%. An A. Now the challenge is just to keep it. That's the way it ought to be with God. Start tonight with 100%. Have an A score. Everything's right between you and God. Everything's right between me and others. Let's just be right with God. And then this year, let's keep it that way. That's what the Lord's Supper's about. That's what matters the most, because the concentration is on one thing, and my relationship with God. Because when my relationship with God is right, then everything around me becomes what God would have it to be. One more thought very quickly, and I must close. It determines our desires, verse 42. There's a need for communion. Verse 42, Jesus said, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away. In other words, Jesus was saying she needed it. She needs communion. And I'm not talking about, we use the term the Lord's Supper as the communion, but what I mean by the word communion in this passage is that fellowship with God, that completeness with God. David says it like this, in my very favorite passage in all the Bible. If anyone were to ask me, what is your very favorite passage? Well, it's really hard to narrow it down, but I'm going to have to tell you, this has to be in the top 10, if not the top number one, is Psalm 42. Here's what David says. He says that the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Let me tell you when David wrote those words. David wrote those words when he was away, when he was running from Saul for his life. He could not enter the temple of God. He was not able to go there, because if he did, he could have lost his life. And David was saying to God in that psalm, he was crying out to God, he says, God, I am so thirsty. I'm so hungry for you, Lord. As a deer that panteth at the water brooks, I'm out here in the desert. I'm hiding out. I'm away from you, Lord. And I so long to be with you. I so long to want your relationship. I so long to want you in my life. God, I'm hungry. I'm panting. I'm begging for you. That's a powerful passage. When's the last time we came to that place? When's the last time we were there? You see, it determines our desires, what matters the most. That's really what it's all about. But then it also determines the fulfillment in communion. That's the good part. Oh, I'm so fulfilled when I spend time with him. And then one more, and I'm going to have to hurry. There's a reward in communion. It shall not be taken away. Jesus said, we're not going to take that relationship away. You can't buy back that time. How many of you have ever done this? How many of you have ever said, if I could just go back and change time in my past? How many have ever done that? You ever felt that way? Huh? You ever wish you'd go back and change something in your past? I wish I could go back and push a button differently. Wish I could go back and purchase that instead of this. I wish I would have taken this instead of that. I wish I would have done this instead of that. I wish I would have changed this. I wish I had done that. Here's what God says. He says, when you make right relationship with me and the communion with me and it's fulfilling with me and you spend that time with me and you make sure that what matters most in your life, that shall never be taken away from you. That's the reward of it. So what do you say? As we participate in the Lord's table tonight, God's way of reminding us of our priorities is through the life of these two ladies. Is it worship? Or is it activities? Is it service? Or is it the Savior? You know, our theme this year is serving the Savior, and I'm all about us serving, but I don't want us to serve at the expense of our passion for the Savior. Tonight, I pray and ask you to examine your heart as Christ told us to do, that we might be prepared when we take the Lord's table. Let's pray.